Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilster's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilster's General Store. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. More bad weather moving in. I'd go there tonight. Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Merrill Reese, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, is going to join us later in the week. We'll pin that down for you later. So, obviously, we are now closing in, by the way, on a mere 33 minutes until the Kevin Hur rant. And the rant of the day deals with people going around in circles. You'll wear the Danica shirt. You'll wear the Danica hat.
Sure.
You're mad at me that I don't, you know, now obviously I have Penn State basketball, Penn State football, sweatsuits and golf shirts and things like that, coat. But you don't like the fact that I don't own anything else like that.
Well, I mean, listen, I freely support the teams that I support, and I'm not afraid to show it. And when it comes to the Steelers, we talked about this last week, I wear it on my sleeve. When it comes to the Phillies, I find myself being somewhat of a sarcastic fan from time to time. Mm-hmm. It was, oh, here we go again. Oh, we're great. We're going to start winning now when it doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe sarcastic isn't the word. Maybe it's just negative. Maybe that's a better word for it.
I think the last time I wore a team's winning and losing on my sleeve probably was the 2004 Red Sox.
Well, I can understand that.
And then since then, I haven't with any team. I don't know why. I love watching games. I'll watch game after game after game. Michigan State plays Indiana tomorrow night. I can't wait to watch that game tomorrow night. I have to do a function tomorrow evening for the Varsity S Club after I'm done with the talk show. So I'm going to go from Damon's to the Founders Room. So I'm probably going to miss the first half of the Indiana Michigan State game. Can't wait to watch that. Can't wait to do Thursday night's game. Can't wait to do that. I love sports. I mean, I really do. I love sports. But in terms of the rooting and like really living and dying with, I don't do that like I used to. And I don't root for individuals.
Well, it's hard not to root for an individual if you're a race fan.
Well, I understand that. You have to pick out who you root for. But I don't pick out a driver. For example, I'll watch the Daytona 500 for the sake of watching the Daytona 500 because I think it's an exciting race to watch. I will probably not watch another NASCAR race again until probably the World 600.
You know they don't call it that anymore, right?
I know. It's called whatever. It's whatever the sponsor of the week happens to be.
Because these things change.
These things change. They change sponsors by the week. Okay?
They've called it the world since the 80s.
But see, that's also become one of the problems with sports. Okay, the Northern Telecom Open. Where is it?
I have no idea.
That's exactly right.
Well, the same thing could be said with stadiums, too. I don't know what, unless it's your favorite team, I don't know what stadium it is anymore. Especially like what used to be Candlestick. I mean, that's changed names so many times, I don't even know what it is now.
Right. Well, I mean, look at Dolphin Stadium, how many times that changed names. I mean, you need sponsorship dollars to make this whole thing work. It's just the money is so deep and so thick now. in terms of what individuals are paid as to be entertainers in this, that now you have sponsors all over the place. I remember at one point when I was a kid in Fenway Park, one sign allowed to be in Fenway Park. You know what that sign was?
Why, what's that?
Support the Jimmy Fund, which is for the Dana-Farber Institute, pediatric cancer. This is long before Thon. And Thon, by the way, was incredible. Over $12.3 million raised this weekend for Thon. It's the first time I ever gave online. It was Saturday. I wanted to make my contribution, so I did it online. It's the first time I did that, and it couldn't have been any easier. But they raised over $12.3 million. Well, the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston is where they have the Jimmy Fund. And it was the only sign that was allowed by the Yawkey family in Fenway Park. Now you go in there, and I mean, the Mohegan Sun's on this wall, the Budweiser's on that wall, JetBlue's on that wall. You know what I mean? You name the pad, they have something there. Everything's sponsored now all over the place. But that's the way you generate cash. Behind home plate, of course, always has something that's revolving because that's the way you generate cash. Look at the ads that are in Citizens Bank Park when you go there.
Although you ever notice if it's a national broadcast, they don't. They put a green screen on there so that the network can put whatever they want on it.
Right, exactly.
Only if it's a local broadcast do they have the rotating one now.
Right. You know, but those national broadcasts are few and far between.
True.
So, you know, you go in there, and, of course, the number of sponsorships up on the, in a two-deck setup in an arena, they're all around. Everywhere you look. And that, you know, and that's fine, because that's how you need to be able to pay the players. That's how you need to be able to make revenue. That's part of it. I understand that. But you look at a NASCAR driver, it's like, okay. I mean, they're just tattooed with patches of ads. So you say to me, the 600-mile race in Charlotte doesn't quite sound the same as, you know.
I think it's the Coca-Cola 600 now.
It might be.
I have a question. We were talking a little basketball a few minutes ago, and I want to go back because the top 25 has come out now, and Indiana's
won. It's irrelevant, but
well,
go ahead.
And that's part of what I was going to ask you about. Indiana's won, Miami's two, Michigan State, Michigan are 3-4. But according to that, if you look just at the top four, would they be considered your four overall number ones if you were making your tournament bracket right now? Do you feel obligated to take the top four teams in the top 25?
No. Nobody does that.
And then the question I ask is exactly what you just said. What's the relevance of it then?
Interest. I mean, what's the relevance of having a top 25 in college football for the first 6 weeks? What's the relevance of having a preseason? It's interest. It's all about interest. You know, people like to rank things. So it's all about interest, and that's what this is about. Those would not be the, in my opinion, the four number one seeds right now. I think the four number one seeds right now might be Indiana, Miami, Florida. And then you'd have a real race between Duke and Gonzaga as to who that fourth one is.
Is Gonzaga's issue their strength of schedule?
Is there an issue? I mean, you're talking between a one and a two here. I mean, that's. I mean, what's the difference? There's no difference, Kevin, between a one and a two. Okay, once you get through the number 16 seed, who's the next one you face? An eight. If you're a two, who's the next one you face? A seven. And the difference is what?
Tell me the difference.
There isn't. No difference between a seven and an eight. Now, the difference might be that one would play four and two plays three. Okay. But there are no number one seeds this year. You have a dozen number two seeds, and it just turns out four of those dozen are going to be number ones. Miami beat Clemson yesterday 45-43. Didn't exactly set the game on a track toward the next century. Indiana looked great the other day against Purdue, but they're better than Purdue. I mean, like, significantly better than Purdue. Michigan State played a great game against Michigan. But you know what? Years ago, when Penn State first got into the Big Ten, this is what Big Ten people told me. They said, you'll find out that when it's a Big Ten game, the effort is all out. Okay. Because this was an era where Penn State go in, and after about a quarter and a half of taking Rutgers apart, they were done and moved on, and Rutgers would, like, you know, get in the field position and leave. Okay? They said, that won't happen in the Big Ten. They'll fight you right to the end. You know what? In basketball, we saw that twice this weekend. Michigan State played at Nebraska. Could not put them away until finally at the end. Just could not put them away. Just could not take that thing and take it from 10 and make it 25. Couldn't do it. Nebraska kept getting down to 7 and push it back out to 9, down to 7, 3-point shot, up to 10. I mean, that's how it played out. And the other example is Penn State, Michigan. Michigan's a 27-point favorite. Penn State, which is playing far better basketball now than it was a month ago, fights these guys. You know, Michigan gets the thing pushed out to 6 to start the second half. Penn State hovers. All of a sudden, boom, Penn State gets right back in it within 1. Now suddenly it's a 56-55 game. That is what years ago people said the Big Ten, they fight you to the end, and the difference is you'll see that. Well, we saw that this weekend in Nebraska and Penn State. The two teams at the bottom of the Big Ten took two of the top teams of the Big Ten and made them fight their guts out for 40 minutes. Didn't win the games, but that's what they did. Now Michigan State has to play Indiana. So you're seeing now conference play, certainly the scores get ratcheted down. Clemson and Miami certainly is an example of that. But, I mean, I would go Indiana, Miami, probably Florida. And then I'd lean to Duke over Gonzaga because I don't see some of the teams on their schedule Gonzaga is. I mean, Gonzaga is, you know, people don't realize they've beaten 5 ranked teams in the last 5 years. And you know what? 3 of them are St. Mary's. You realize that?
3 of them are St. No. 3 of them are St. Mary's.
Yeah. In their own conference. In the last 7 meetings with St. Mary's, they're...
Last 7, they're what?
The last 7 meetings between the two, Gonzaga's 4-3.
4-3.
Yeah, St. Mary's last week. But that's 3 of their ranked wins over that one school. I mean, they get a lot of love from the world because, oh, they're Gonzaga, blah, 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 but you know, exactly go play what you world schedule. In part because a lot of teams don't want to play them. Talk to Penn State to play them. That fell through. Okay, I'm going to... But, I mean, when you really look at, you know, once you get into conference play, you really pigeonhole conference play. That's why the judgments that are made by the tournament committee, it's difficult. It's difficult. You look at Iowa, for example. Iowa is 16-9. Now, the number 3 team, Valley. Now you have to, how good are they? Did they have to go through the minefield and included Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois? Right now, 10 would get teams in the be the eighth side looking. Come back with more. Today's show, property insurance, more treat and go 10. Okay.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to hilscher'sgeneralstore.com. All right. Hilscher'sstore.com, excuse me. www.hilscher'sstore.com. Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. We're working on getting Joe Lenardi on the show to talk bracketology for you. Something I want you to remember about when you look at Kentucky basketball right now, Kentucky's resume is not what they've done to this point. Kentucky's resume began Saturday against Tennessee. They will be judged by the committee as to what they do without Nerlens Noel and not with Nerlens Noel. Okay? There's something to keep in mind. So they'd be out right now. They would not be in. And, the, you know, there's certain things the committee looks at. There are things that I look at. I'll tell you right now. I look at wins over top 50 teams, you know, in the neighborhood. Wins over top 50 teams. I want to know if you were able to go on the road and beat somebody. And then it's the look test. Does that team look like a team that can win in the tournament? People don't like the look test. But to me, the look test is important. I mean, you just can't sit there with a benign set of numbers and go, yeah, they're in, that's it. Yeah, I want to look and see what your basketball team looks like. But how many wins were you able to get over top 50 and top 100s? Okay, so I want to see how you did against the better perceived competition. So how many top 50, top 100 wins do you have? And I want to know how many pelts you picked up on the road. Were you able to go into somebody's building, especially a team of quality, and get a couple? And then I want to see what your basketball team looks like. I've seen most everybody now. Gonzaga may not have played, quote, an awesome and incredible schedule, but that's a good-looking basketball team. I've seen them play three times on TV now. I like how they play. It's like I like how Butler plays. I'll be honest with you. If I'm in the committee room, I would get up and I would pitch Bucknell if Bucknell did not win the Patriot. Now, it may fall on deaf ears, but I'd pitch him. I've watched Bucknell play in person. I've watched them play on TV. That is a basketball team that knows how to play basketball. We'll find out tonight when they play at Lehigh. Lehigh has come in without C.J. McCollum and won at Soika. Now tonight they're at Stabler. But that's, I mean, those are what things I'm looking at. So when I'm looking at who's in, who's out, and then I'm looking at the seeding part of it, Indiana deserves to be probably the first overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Now, I would have voted Miami number one last week. They still haven't lost yet. The Clemson thing's a little troubling. I mean, at the 40, I think you're allowed to have a hiccup. But a hiccup against Clemson? I mean, Indiana's hiccups are against the Wisconsins of the world. Pretty good basketball team. The Mid last week got trolled by Michigan State. Michigan State's damn good. And that game was at Breslin. Now, Michigan State's going to be tested down the stretch. They still have to play Indiana Tuesday. They still have to play Ohio State. They still have to play Wisconsin. And they still have to play Michigan in Ann Arbor. That's the close for Michigan State. You don't think they're going to be tournament ready? Tom Izzo's team's not going to be tournament ready? Playing in this conference every day is like playing in the tournament in this particular year. Now, next year, the dynamics of the conference change. It's hard for me to imagine, for example, that Trey Burke's back next year. He looked smooth and he looked good yesterday. Wow. Purdy Insurance brings you the Monday show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are 10 minutes away from the master of the rant.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Is Mark Lawrence considering a rant?
Not that I'm aware of.
Jerry Buss passed away today at the age of 80. And he is, to me, one of the pioneers of what it means to have quality ownership. He took over in Los Angeles. He paid $67.5 million. For property and teams, which include the Kings, in 1979, the Lakers are now worth $1 billion. They're number two behind the Knicks in terms of worth, according to Fortune magazine and by Forbes. And he's the one that coined the word Showtime. He's the one that went to Hollywood producers and said, I need to have the lighting in the forum different. He says, so that it looks like it's lit right. And you notice the court lighting at the Staples and the forum, everything was on the court and the crowd looked dark. It's because he went to Hollywood people and said, look, I want the emphasis to be on. He said, that's what I want it to be. And he cared. He knew that he needed stars to make it happen. So they made the Butch Lee trade, and they got the number one pick and got Magic Johnson. He traded for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he got it. He knew that he needed to have something on the floor that was not only outstanding, but also wasn't boring. Great ownership makes a difference. Robert Kraft with the New England Patriots makes a difference. Okay. Jerry Buss with the Lakers made a difference. But the difference between a Jerry Buss, for example, and a Jerry Jones, or a Robert Kraft and a Jerry Jones loves his team. Loves his team. Is as passionate about his team as the late Jerry Buss was about the Lakers. and is as passionate about his team as Robert Kraft is about the Patriots. The difference is that Kraft and Buss looked at other people that they felt are experts in their field and let them run things. They would give their input, but they let them run things. But Jerry Buss got that. Ownership in Boston, when John Henry took over, the Red Sox won 2 World Series. It makes a difference. George Steinbrenner made a difference. You may not have liked it. You didn't like how they did it. But he made a difference. He knew he had to get a Reggie Jackson. He knew he had to get a Catfish Hunter. Didn't quite work with Dave Winfield. But he knew he had to be different and he had to invest his money. I'm a Red Sox fan. I didn't like it. But you know what? He knew what he was doing. So ownership does make a difference. And Los Angeles in the NBA is a perfect example of that. Look how the Lakers have been run by Jerry Buss, and look how the Clippers have been run by Donald Sterling. Same arena. Clippers are better this year, but over the long haul, we all know the Lakers made that deal. Mitch Kupchak, it was Jerry West that made the deal. Jerry West made the deal with the Charlotte Hornets. Sent Vlade Divac for a high school kid named Kobe Bryant who was drafted by the Hornets 14th overall. Then they made the deal. They got Shaquille O'Neal in there. You know, hired Phil Jackson to be the coach, and away they go. So he got it. He understood it. And he passed away today at the age of 80. Now, we've seen a lot of the Jordan-LeBron James thing. I want to get into that in a few moments. But first, it's time now to deviate for a few moments. And the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
Well, this is going to be a rather quick one because I'm watching Saturday night. You know how excited I was about the Sprint Unlimited. I like to see these no points races, these races for fun. And then the fan involvement in the race just made it more interesting. By the way, I could care less what fire suit the Sprint Cup girl was wearing. That was one of the things I skipped voting on. I did want to vote on how many cars came out of the race and got bumped out. I did vote on how on the pit stop and the type of race it was. Here's where I was disappointed. See, I remember the Busch clashes where you had all these drivers out there, and then they had to make this two-tire pit stop in the middle of the race. So when I'm voting, I'm thinking two-tire pit stop, no pit stop, four-tire pit stop. Well, three-segment race, it'd be cool if one of those, you know, had a four-tire stop. So I vote four-tire stop. What happens? After the end of the first segment, they take a four-tire stop with the yellow the red flag out. Now, what kind of fun was that? That made no sense whatsoever. So now they just changed four tires. They put basically the same four tires on they had before, if the car was running right. If the car wasn't running right, they got to put four tires on. There was no challenge in there for the pit crews. All right, maybe no challenge is a little harsh. There was little challenge for the pit crews. The idea was you make a green flag stop, and then you change four tires. Then you have to rush. Then the pit crews are involved even more in the whole race. The way they did it this time, there was nothing. It was boring. And I know how much Steve likes watching cars go around in a circle. I guarantee you, that idea was not going to win him over. If you would have made the pit stop during one of the segments, during a green flag, that would have made the race a little bit more interesting. Instead, the only thing that was really interesting was the first segment crash, and that's sad. That's my rant.
All right, let's get back to sports. well, there's been a lot made. What?
Let's get back to sports. Remember my buddy said, there's not a ball or finish line, it's not a sport.
No.
There's
no,
a finish
no.
line.
NASCAR is a sport. That what they did the other night was just, it's like watching preseason baseball. Okay.
Well, I agree with the preseason right. baseball analogy. I'm just saying, that should have been a green flag stop. That was not what I wanted. That was not what I intended on when I made the vote. I should have voted for no pit stop. It would have made about as much sense.
You want to know what today's word of the day is?
What's today's word of the day?
Irrelevant. All right, so let's...
I've been dubbed that for a long time. You are not the first.
In the Daytona 500, when they get to that, now we're talking. That's big time, big league, whatever. That thing they did the other night, I mean, honestly, it's like watching a Grapefruit League game between the Pirates and the Phillies in Clearwater.
But wouldn't you, even as a non-racing fan, been a little bit interested if that pit stop would have happened in a green flag? Now, come on, be honest now. Now, don't be funny. No. I'm being serious now. Would it have been more interesting?
I'm not going to watch it, period.
Okay. If you
I want to watch the Daytona 500.
If you were watching it and they made this entertaining race a mandatory stop. Yes,
it would be
flag.
Much more fun when there's pressure to the green flag.
There you go. That's what I wanted. I know you're just saying it to appease me, but that's the whole point.
There's nothing like a well, finely tuned lug wrench when you need it. All right.
Pit stop competitions are a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, actually they are, because those guys are incredibly, incredibly, incredibly skilled. I mean, really. I mean, they really are. The timing, the precision. I mean, you watch a pit stop unfold, and, including the competition they have in Indianapolis, for example, and they have Carburation Day and so forth. It really is remarkable what they do as a team. And I say that in all sincerity, no funny stuff.
No, I actually did that. Time trial that you could, or not a time trial, but they had a attempt to be on a pit crew trial, and they timed it out. It took me 3.5 minutes, and I got a hernia from lifting the tire. I mean, that thing is heavy. It does not look that heavy, but it was heavy. It was really bad. You know how you make the sound? Mine was more like... It was really bad. The sound effects made it, didn't it?
Boy. The NBA All-Star game actually drew a 5.8 rating on TNT, which is really good. A little bit higher than your Sprint Cup thing, which drew, what, a 0.3?
That might have been TNT's highest Sunday night rating.
Well, it's fine. The NBA has grown with popularity, but there seems to be a misnomer because of the Jordan 50th birthday that the NBA really took off at that point. And it can't be any further from the truth, at least to me. To me, the NBA was saved in the 80s when Magic Johnson joined the Lakers, the aforementioned Jerry Buss, in conjunction with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and James Worthy. Then you add in other parts like a Byron Scott, a Michael Cooper. Bob McAdoo was their sixth guy. Larry Bird goes to the Celtics. They make the trade. They get McHale. They get Parrish. They acquire Dennis Johnson. Bill Walton is the sixth man. Scott Wedman, good shooter. Danny Ainge. The NBA in the late 70s was labeled as an individualistic, and some unflatteringly called it a drug league. It was Bird and Magic, because I think people forget that the NBA during the week were tape delayed. When Magic Johnson played center, when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had migraines at the Spectrum and they beat the Sixers, that sixth game, you didn't get to watch it till 11:30 at night.
Really? I didn't.
When Bird won his first title in 81, when they beat the Houston Rockets, the games in the middle of the week were, again, and the same thing, the clincher, was on at 11:30 at night. They weren't live. The 1984 final did more to put the NBA on the track it is on now than any other sequence of games. You had the Lakers, the Celtics, seven scintillating games between two contrasting styles, 3,000 miles apart. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird brought team basketball back to the NBA. Michael Jordan was the beneficiary of what they did in laying that foundation. And to his credit, then brought it to his own personal level. We're all at different opinions, but I am of the opinion that the 86 Celtics and the 85 Lakers would have beaten any of the six Chicago Bulls championship teams in five or six games, and they would beat the Miami Heat probably in five games, maybe six. They're just better. And it's all about matchups. You can say, well, who's going to match up with LeBron James? Oh, I don't know. Michael Cooper? I don't know. James Worthy? Who's going to match up with Kareem? Oh, that's a problem. Chris Bosh? Really? Who's going to match up with Bird? Uh-oh, problem. Who's going to match up with Magic? Problem. Who's going to match up with Parrish? Problem. Oh, when they bring Bill Walton off the bench to change the tone of the game, who's going to change the tone of your game? Mario Chalmers? Tony Kukoc? Those teams back in the 80s were great basketball teams that played at a high level. And they set the foundation for what we have now. And I also want to make sure that we give the just due to the 83 Philadelphia 76ers. Moses Malone, Bobby Jones, Andrew Toney, Mo Cheeks, and the great Julius Erving. I think they would have beaten the Bulls, and I think they would have beaten the Miami Heat. It was an incredible era for basketball where the depth of great teams kept the Sixers from winning more than one championship. And I think we lose a sense all the time because we're so much in the moment. Oh, Michael, LeBron, Michael. And that's a great argument, debate, back and forth. Well, I'd take Kobe because Kobe has five titles. He has one. He was splitting hairs at the time when he said it. Jordan. But we forget the state of the league in the 70s. In the late 70s especially. And what Bird and Magic did to put it on the path to financial greatness and visual greatness. And the teams that they were on. It wasn't just Magic and Bird. Bird and McHale, Parrish, Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, Bill Walton off the bench, Scott Wedman off the bench, Gerald Henderson. Lakers had Magic, Kareem, James Worthy, Byron Scott. Yeah, Kurt Rambis rounded it out, but Bob McAdoo, Michael Cooper. That's who they had. And as for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, what is it about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that you don't get? He was at UCLA, and they won three straight championships. He was with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, in their third year of existence, won the NBA championship with him, and they brought in Oscar Robertson. They had some good role players like John McLaughlin and people like that. Lucius Allen, who played with Kareem at UCLA. And so he goes three at UCLA, wins with the Bucks, goes to the Lakers, wins. Now, what's the common denominator between those three teams? Just like Jordan won at North Carolina. Okay, great Jordan story. You know what he did the day after he big shot against Georgetown? They had to fly back to Chapel Hill, to fly back to Raleigh-Durham Airport. The next day, he's leaving the hotel with a projector and film. You want to know why? Because in Dean's system, the freshman carried the bags and the freshman carried the projector and the film. He hit the game-winning shot the night before, but he's still a freshman. He had to carry the projector and the film to the plane, to the airport. So for those who say you don't get much by spending a couple of years in college, you might get more than you realize. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Listen, kid. I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
Yes, but I'm Roger Murdoch, co-pilot.
That's right. I'm Roger. See this name tag? Roger Murdoch.
Co-pilot. That's right. You and your Danica hat and t-shirt.
Not till. I'm not even going to wear it on Thursday. I'll just wear it on Friday and Sunday.
How many do you have?
Two. They were buy one, get one, so I have two. I knew you would enjoy that.
Marketing means so much. I mean, really. I mean, let's think about it. Marketing means a lot.
Uh-huh.
Michael Jordan might be the single best marketed athlete in the world.
That's right.
The Tiger Woods had been until, obviously, you ran into a problem.
Agreed.
Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Who's really been, in terms of high performance, the better quarterback in his career? You can debate that, but who's the better marketed?
Oh, it's definitely Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Okay. Danica Patrick is not the best driver on either the IndyCar circuit when she was there or on the NASCAR circuit.
Nope.
But she's the best marketed. Dale Earnhardt Jr. went, I don't know, years between wins?
Yeah.
Literally? Yet, he's the most popular driver on that circuit. He's the best marketed of anybody on that circuit. I mean, you see the commercials he even did during the Super Bowl. Jimmy Johnson is not doing those commercials, and you can argue he's been the best driver on the circuit for the last 5 years. Okay? And you can argue it. And he certainly has won the Cup Points Championship for those years.
You know, for one reason or another, though, you either like Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart are love him or hate him type of relationship with the fan base.
But
that's my point.
I'm talking marketing now.
But these don't.
Okay? Their marketing is irrelevant. Okay, Danica Patrick is the best marketed driver on that circuit by a wide margin. Marketing means everything. Danica Patrick is a beautiful woman who happens to be driving. Okay. And not only that, she's been unafraid to take a risk here and there to use her beauty in the marketing. Now, is she a really good driver? Absolutely. Now she has a real chance this weekend to prove it.